Welcome to Vicious Whispers with Mark Tullius, your source for horror, sci-fi, suspense, and all things violent.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thank you so much for joining me today on Vicious Whispers with Mark Tullius. Today we have episode 54. A little bonus today, since we're all stuck fucking at home with our little kids. Not that that's a terrible thing. It could just be a little bit trying. We got two short stories today from Twisted Reunion. I'll put those up at the end of the episode. The first one is very short, called Last Embrace. And right after that, we'll play Split Decision. I've almost gone completely through that book. So as soon as those stories are done, I have a decision to make. Either we can go with Untold Mayhem, which is all short stories, or we can start Ain't No Messiah. I don't know if you guys want to commit to Ain't No Messiah, because it's fucking long. But I'm very happy with the guy who is doing it. This guy, Rick Cheddar, is narrating it. He's from Tennessee. I thought he did a really good job with the accent. Good actor. And so he has done 14 of the, I think it's 19 chapters. I'm not sure. It's been a while since I read that book. But he is getting close to finishing that. Same with Untold Mayhem. With Untold Mayhem, I was actually going to do, well, we are doing a multicast. So a lot of different narrators are going to be reading the stories. I was going to do the last story in there, Last Will and Testament. But because of all this shit, like, I don't want to go try to, I don't want to drive to Hollywood to try to get to a studio and have to deal with all of that. So I just passed that one on and someone else will read it. But so that is doing well. And then also we are recording the Trinity to Die on Brightside. That should also be done soon. And Unlocking the Cage is finally going to be done. I wasn't able to get the original narrator to make the changes I needed. So I found someone that could pretty much match his voice and to do all the retakes and stuff. So that is finally going to be done as well. So four new audiobooks coming out. So yes, sir, that should be good, good, good. I've been creative lately. It's always such a good feeling. I think I talked about it a little bit last week, how I had finished The Rules and I've been working on Beyond Brightside. What I've been doing with that is I probably do like only two or three chapters a day now, read through it. But when I'm reading through it, I am just looking for places where I need to expand it, descriptions, whatever. So I'm flying through that, marking all the spots. Then I'll go back through on my final pass and fill it all out. So that is where we are with that book. But as far as all the decisions and everything else, I don't need to really add any scenes. I'm just beefing up the actual story itself, the descriptions and all that kind of stuff. I did have the idea for a new short story. Just came to me the other day. Within 30 minutes of coming up with the title, I already had the full story in my head. Lots of shit might change, but it's, man, for me, that is probably the most fun in creating a story, is figuring out what it's about. This one is going to be called The Time I Met Jesus, or The Time I Met Jesus. I'm not sure which one is going to be yet. But that one's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a retelling of Judas's first time meeting Jesus. And I think Judas might be from a different gang, or he's undercover or some shit like that. I'm not sure exactly, but it's going to get a little bit crazy. And then, excuse me. Another really cool thing that happened was my buddy the other day sent me a message about, I think it was last week, and it was about the pandemic. He has a catering business. He's like, fuck, man, how could I have prepared for this? You know, he's like, I had no idea this was going to happen. And so he told me what his whole battle plan is for his business. But his last line said something like, oh, man, I bet this is going to give you all kinds of great writing material. The second I read that, my brain just clicked on, and probably took me about 10, 15 seconds before I had a whole scenario in my head about this man and his wife, maybe one of their kids in the car, and he's about to go into the store to try to get food or medicine for his family. Because this is fucking scary times. So that should be a good story. Another great thing that's happening because of the coronavirus is I just brought on a new horror writer. He's from the Horror Writer Association. It's not official yet, so I won't be releasing names, but I believe we are doing Try Not to Die in the Pandemic. Now, it will probably be called something else, but it's going to be set pretty much right now. Not only is it a great catharsis for us, because just like everyone else, have fears, we have kids, we have parents, so there's definitely the unknown, so we will be capitalizing on that shit, and we're going to write about that. And because he has free time right now, he's going to knock it out quick. I'll be guiding him, helping write it. So that is going to be an awesome one. And I just realized, as soon as we get going a little ways on him, then I'm going to add probably a couple more. And so I'm constantly adding people to my wish list of Try Not to Dies. And so if I just keep doing this, I'm fairly confident within a couple of years, we'll have about 10 out already. So, and that doesn't even talk about, you know, whether or not we're going to get the animated show going and everything else. So anything like that is just bonus. But the really cool thing about all this, and what I remind myself all the time, because shit could always go sour, fucking could die any day, we get it. So just enjoy the moment. If right now what I'm enjoying is writing and creating, like, that's my favorite thing. So anytime I get to do that, like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to focus on the finished product, because I understand that the finished product is going to develop. I'm going to continue to put work on different things, and then who knows what's going to hit first. But yeah, like with my brain book, that one is not going to hit first. That one is going to be put on pause for a while, just because right now I can't even go and do, like, I was scheduled to do go to the Cleveland Clinic in Las Vegas for my third checkup or fourth checkup. And I was going to interview the doctor and talk about my brain results and figure all that shit out. But now that's canceled until at least June. And who knows, it's probably going to be a lot longer than that before we're able to go. And then the same thing with doing, I'm going to do psychedelics and write about that. But again, that shit's all going to be delayed. So, I never know when something is going to hit, but, I know that if I'm constantly moving forward on something, then good things are going to happen. One of the things that I'm kind of excited about is having the kids home. I was talking to them. I was like, okay, well, what do you want to accomplish? So, and we're telling them, hey, there's a very, very good chance you're not going back to school this year. So if we have, you know, 3 months at home or whatever it is, 4 months at home, what do you want to do? Do you just want to do your schoolwork, or do you want to get better at something? Like, do you want to learn a language? Do you want to sing? My daughter loves singing. So I was like, okay, we need to schedule that every day. You know, you have 30 minutes of musical activity, whether it's learning bass or it is singing or whatever it is, then that's what we're going to do. And so we're really encouraging that. And with her, one of the other things I said I really wanted to do was work on our trilogy. So we already have it kind of plotted out. It's been a while since we've looked at it. I think I mentioned it last week that when I talked to her, she got excited about it, and she's like, oh, it's going to be so much darker now. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. So we will be working on that. I told her if we do 30 minutes on that every day, like, it's not going to take us that long to knock this thing out. Like, it will be done. If we don't spend time on it, then it never will be. So that's another great thing that's come up. And I'm also going to be working on a short story with my son as well. He's not as excited about it, but he said he's game. That leads to the last thing. I think it was last week when I was thinking about that. I was thinking about wanting to write with the kids. Also, that it might be a good idea to offer, you know, Facebook Live video just on writing a story. I was like, maybe I should think about doing that. And then the very next morning, my friend Don Tai, who's been on here, I've talked about him a bunch, in my reader appreciation little video, I was talking about him. He sent me an email the very next morning saying, hey, I think we should do this. This would be great for all the people that are shut in for, he's elderly. I'm just about elderly. So he wants, like, I don't know if his will focus on if those are going to be his people, but he wants to do short stories and poetry. If that would be a great idea for us to team up. I'm actually looking for a couple other authors that might want to help out. But today I put out a little feeler saying, hey, I'm thinking about doing these little 30-minute sessions, maybe possibly three of them, one for little kids, one for middle age, and then one for adults, where we'll just talk about writing stories. It would be good for kids to do. I know a lot of parents are stuck with their kids or spending time with their kids. So I think this would be something cool that hopefully people will enjoy. So today I put out a little filler on Facebook. I generally don't do a lot on there on social media, but I had a lot of people sharing it. A lot of people say they were interested. So for sure I'm going to do it. Even if it was just simply the 10 people or so that right now that said they want to do it, I'll start it. Whether or not it develops into something more, like there's a possibility, depending on how things go, maybe I will do an anthology out of it. Maybe out of all my students, maybe I'll collect the stories at the end and then see which ones are good enough to make it into an anthology. And I'll just put that out myself. Not so sure yet what's going to happen, but I just do, I want to do something that could, you know, add some goodness, you know, instead of it just being like, oh, fucking poor us, we're stuck in our house. Like, no, like this is just another opportunity to do something cool. So here, let's try to do this. And again, I don't feel like I'm an expert author or writer or teacher or any of that. But if someone can get something from what I'm saying, then that's awesome. The kid versions, I'm not sure exactly how they're going to work, but I have a feeling I'll probably be sitting down with my son, Jake, walking him through story questions, and then trying to answer some questions during the video. But just trying to really give ideas and let people know, like, look, it doesn't have to be that hard. Here's how we can kind of pull a story out of someone. Let's try this. With my daughter, we'll probably be focused on developing our trilogy. And, you know, but one day we'll be talking about, okay, here's, we need to work on our characters. How do we do this? How do we develop the story? What do we want here? And then for the adults, I'll just be by myself, all potty mouthed out, and we will talk about writing some cool ass shit. And if it's about the coronavirus, if it's about the quarantine, if it's about these fears, if it's about conspiracy theories, if it's about whatever, I think that's awesome. I think writing about our fears, writing about the shit that scares us, I think that does wonders. A lot of people don't want to touch it. A lot of people, just say, no, I'd rather keep that shit boxed up. But I do know that it is helpful. So that is the game plan. If you want to check out one of those classes, I think everything's going to be going through my author Facebook page, which is Author Mark Tullius. I will also put leave messages on Twitter and all that kind of shit about it. I don't know the actual schedule yet, but I'm guessing we'll probably do one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and then maybe one at night, depending on how much time I have and what other authors I could get on board. If I get more authors on board, then I don't have to teach as many classes myself. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. So if you are interested, if you've ever had the idea for a short story, don't know where to start, this is probably a fucking good opportunity. Yeah, definitely looking forward to working with people. I don't know how much, I won't be able to probably do a lot of one-on-one, but for those that are really serious, that are taking the class and do want feedback, you know, I'll take a look at work. I'll try to offer advice. I can't spend too much of my time on this, but yeah, I could donate an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours of my week to help people write. So that is the game plan. Hopefully you guys take advantage of it or just hear about it every weekend on the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Definitely stay safe. Be kind. Don't be a fucking asshole. Everyone else is being not everyone else. But this really shows it's a good opportunity to see what people are all about. Lots of good people out there. Also lots of pieces of shit. So I think it's smart to remember that, you know, don't be gullible. Don't be thinking everyone's fucking nice. I'm going to be your friend if shit goes bad. But still treat people with kindness until that moment. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap this shit up. Right now, this week, if you guys have not read Brightside, you pick it up on the Kindle for free. I think next week we have Messiah and another book for free. I'm not sure. I'm not so good at keeping track of all that. But for now, let's go out on the two short stories. The first one is Quick, Last Embrace. And then after that, we have Split Decision. Kind of a fun little one. One of the first short stories I ever wrote. All right, guys. So thank you again for listening. And I will talk to you next week. Peace.
Last Embrace. It's good to see your whole family made it. Amazing that they still love and support you despite the things you've done. I wonder if they know how much their presence here means. They came to offer prayers. They came to offer you strength, but all they really do is make your despair darker, your suffering sweeter. To die in your loved one's arms is one thing. To die helplessly in front of them is quite another. I suppose it's a blessing, though, to finally see all this coming to an end. Look at their faces. Look at what you've done. Look at what you've reduced them to. This has to be the worst moment of your mother's life, and you're responsible. The lines of fear and revulsion etched into her face will never go away. Your father's not doing much better. Look at the pitiful sight, his crushed macho facade crumbling. But their pain is nothing compared to what your baby sister is going through. She's staring at me, too young to know what she's about to see. She'll never forget this day, and neither will I. I'm not a mercy killer. I am simply the one lucky enough to watch them pull the switch. I can't wait for tonight. I can't wait to feel your sweat on my skin. You must realize how intoxicating it is to have a dead man's scent seeping through you. You have some fight. I like how you pretend to struggle with the guards so your family couldn't see you trembling like a little girl. How cute that you're trying to be a big boy. You were so tough with a gun in your hand. But that's gone. So take my arm. Squeeze as hard as you like. You can't hurt me. No? Fine. I wasn't much for holding hands. You don't have a lot of time. So take one last look at your family. Remember their faces. Think about what you've put them through, what you're about to put them through. They won't smell you cooking from out there. They're not supposed to. But this is an old building, and they'll start to believe they can taste the fried bits of you. The way you're sitting on me says you're going to be a fun one. The way you're arching your back, trying not to touch my chest. The way your legs are trembling as you attempt to keep your ass off my lap. Good attempts, but pointless. I'm all you have now. It's you and me. I know what you're thinking, listening to the tick of the clock. The governor could still call with that reprieve. That could happen, but it never does. Don't misunderstand me. I'm glad they tell you that. That last chance of survival toys with your emotions. It fills you with a panicky hope that won't completely disappear until the first jolt hits. And I've got a special surprise for you and your family. For some reason, the first surge will only be at 1,000 volts. The meter will show it at 2, so the guards will let it run for the full 60 seconds. Enough voltage to get you foaming at the mouth, bleeding from your eyes, shaking like an epileptic, but not enough to kill you. When they stop to determine the problem, you'll renew your faith, hope, and determination to live. They'll think they found the problem right away. I'm old and falling apart. A few quick turns of a screw, and you'll be back on deck. And what they won't realize is that I've completely drained the brine out of your sponge. when they throw that switch again, I'll be at 3/4 power. I'll slowly bake your brain and cook your insides before I take you. When you die, the guards are going to discover I'm back at full capacity and can't be shut down. They'll yell at each other and complain that I have a mind of my own, but it won't matter to you anymore. You won't feel your flesh sizzle, but rest assured that I won't stop until every inch of your skin crackles. Now you're sweating. Haven't even turned on the fire and you're already dripping. This is going to be fun. Split decision. Waking every morning with regret and resentment was taking its toll on Brian. Turning and seeing that lumpy, out-of-shape body and hearing the incessant snoring was just that much worse due to lack of sleep. Brian was tired and unhappy with his lifelong commitment. If this was one of his novels, he'd simply erase Joseph and create someone more appealing, or better yet, allow himself the pleasure of being alone for a while. He'd never been alone, and the thought made him angry. But it was too early to be angry. Definitely not the way to start the weekend. They were supposed to be installing new shelves in the living room. Brian had been putting it off for months, maybe longer. He couldn't remember. Everything had become such a blur of procrastination. He didn't even open his yellow notebook of things he'd promised to do. He and Joseph had gone to one of those self-help seminars last Christmas, a gift from Joseph, but really a gift for Joseph, just like every other gift he gave. Brian felt Joseph stirring and decided it was time to get up. Brian cleared his throat. I gotta get up, Brian said. Hold on. Just get up. Fine. Brian shook his head as he slid off the bed. Even when he didn't want to fight, they started off this way. The bathroom mirror verified that Brian looked as miserable as he felt. He wasn't surprised to see his bloodshot eyes and the dark, puffy bags under them, while Joseph's face seemed so fresh and young. God damn it, Joseph. Some privacy would be a nice change. Well, I'm sure it would, but what do you want me to do about it? I gotta take a piss. And don't just stand there and watch. That creeps me out. Like I haven't seen it before. Please, just move. I've got a bad headache, and I don't want to argue. Joseph's face softened. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. You're my everything. You're my heart, he said. I couldn't live without you, you big fucking pussy. Brian rolled his eyes. He and Joseph rearranged themselves in the cramped bathroom. As he emptied his bladder, Brian made up his mind. Their relationship was over. Half an hour later, Brian was sitting on a bar stool at the kitchen counter, eating cereal and reading the sports section. Joseph was sitting on the stool to his left, smacking up his oatmeal and trying to read over Brian's shoulder, even though he had no interest whatsoever in football scores. Brian took another swig from his coffee mug. Joseph said, I really wish you would cut back on that. All that caffeine is bad for your body.
It helps me get through the day. Joseph sounded very hurt when he said,
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
Brian set the mug down and tried to look at Joseph objectively. It was no wonder everyone stared at them as if they were freaks. They were.
Don't look at me like that. What did I do now? Go ahead then. Drink your coffee. You're being such a prick today.
Brian ignored the comment and finished his drink.
You aren't going to be able to sit down long enough to write anything decent, Joseph warned. You'll be getting up every 5 minutes.
Maybe I don't feel like writing today.
Well, you should. It helps you relax. And I don't want you to be a dick all night. Plus, I would like to paint later.
Your stupid flowers.
I sold 3 this year.
Joseph's eyes turned cold.
What is your problem?
Brian took a deep breath to brace himself for what he was about to say.
You know what we talked about?
About separating?
I think it would be a good idea.
Joseph's too small mouth hung open.
You're just saying that. You're angry. Let's get you some eggs.
I don't want eggs. I think it's time.
But the doctor said...
Brian nodded. I know. And I don't care.
I love you. You're everything to me.
I love you too. But I think it would be the best thing for both of us.
The doctor said I could die. He said it was a risk, but so could I. So that makes it better?
Joseph said.
I won't do it. Even if I could survive, which I couldn't. Have you thought about where we would live? Who would keep the house?
We'd have to talk about that, Brian said.
No. No. I won't do it. I won't go along with it. I won't consent.
Brian turned back to his paper. Just forget it. Sorry I brought it up. Joseph asked,
So, are we done talking about this?
Brian turned the page even though he hadn't read a single word of print. Yeah. Later, while he and Joseph were watching television, Brian used the remote to turn down the volume. He turned to Joseph, who was snuggled up beside him, and said,
Do you want to give me a hand with something?
Sure, what you have in mind?
Let's get those shelves up.
Joseph perked up.
Yeah?
Yeah. The men got up from the couch, walked through the kitchen, and made their way into the garage. After a quick search, Brian located the skill saw. He told Joseph, You can grab the hammer and the extension cord.
What do we need all this for?
Brian looked down at the plastic drop cloth rolled up in his right hand. I need to trim the shelves. I don't want the shavings getting into the rug. They stopped at the cupboard in the kitchen and set down the equipment. Brian pulled out a bottle of Early Times whiskey. He gulped down a longer-than-usual drink from the half-empty jug and then offered it to Joseph.
Are you crazy? It's barely 11 o'clock.
Brian shrugged, put the bottle away. Come on, we're being men.
Well, I wish you'd take me into consideration next time you had the urge to drink. Which will probably be in, what, 2 hours?
Probably. Brian mimicked Joseph's whiny tone.
Come on, let's get to work.
Once they were in the living room, Brian glanced through the window and noted the neighbor's high brick wall. It was the only time their crappy apartment view didn't bother him. He closed the blinds and then connected the skill saw to the extension cord. Go ahead and plug your end down there. Help me lay this down. The conjoined men bent over at the waist and began unrolling the drop cloth the length of the room. Brian noticed that Joseph was pushing the roll while still holding on to the hammer. Brian held out his hand.
Here, I can take that from you.
Joseph looked around the room and then at Brian. He kept the hammer and asked,
Where's the wood?
What?
For the shelf.
Oh. I forgot it in the garage.
I didn't see it in there.
It was next to the workbench. Brian held out his hand again.
Here, give it to me.
Joseph remained still.
Forgot the nails too, huh?
Yeah. We'll go back and get them in the wood. Why don't you just put the hammer down?
I think I'll hold on to it for a little while.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Well, then stop acting crazy.
Me?
The whiskey kicked in and gave Brian the extra push he needed.
Give me the goddamned hammer.
Joseph took a step back, made Brian stumble.
No.
Brian tried to remain calm. Hand it over. Joseph shook his head. Brian felt his smaller self tremble with fear.
I won't hurt you.
Liar.
Joseph backed up again, but Brian was right there with him. Joseph lifted the hammer in his left hand, but Brian's much stronger right pinned it to the wall.
You're crazy.
No, I'm tired. Brian wrenched the hammer from his twin's grip and watched it fall to the floor. I'm tired of you. Brian and Joseph simultaneously bent over for the hammer. Brian reached it first and swung it as hard as he could, aimed for Joseph's jaw. Joseph brought his arm up just in time, deflected the blow. Both men stammered backward. Joseph shook his arm and shouted,
"You'll kill us both!"
That's a chance I'm willing to take. Brian swung the hammer again, but Joseph ducked, the hammer sticking into the wall. Joseph latched onto Brian's arm and fell to his back, pulling Brian down with him.
Fucking stop! Just fucking stop!
Brian saw the terror in his brother's eyes and finally let go. Joseph said,
"Get off me!"
Brian awkwardly rolled his head off Joseph's neck. The two of them sprawled on their backs, both gasping for air. Brian gazed up at the hammer stuck in the wall, the skill saw over on the floor. Tomorrow, he thought. I'll do it tomorrow.